Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gosh Daniel podcast, episode 14, the Voltron episode, which has been longly awaited and anticipated by our guest star, Ethan Copeland. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Ethan.
My name is Ethan Copeland. I've been really good friends with Daniel and Bob for a very long time, and yeah, huge fan of Voltron, by the way.
All right, yes. So, Voltron. When we mean Voltron, we are more specifically talking about the new Netflix show, which has two seasons. It's called Voltron Legendary Defender. If you'll remember from our cartoon episode, I gushed about it a little bit, but this is one of Ethan and I's favorite shows, I would say, of all time. What would you say, Ethan?
Yeah, probably, like, especially, like, you know, when it comes to cartoons or actually anything, it is, like, one of my top tens. Actually, more like top twos.
It's way up there for both of us. I'm not sure Daniel cares as much, but he's only seen...
What?
Well, how much have you seen of it, Daniel?
I care. I'm on... Okay, I think I'm, like, halfway through the fifth episode. Actually, the sixth.
It really sounds like you care.
The sixth episode of the first season, and it's going great, you know? It's great.
So you're on the fifth episode out of, what, 19 episodes total currently?
Well, including the second season, yeah, there's 19, but I feel like I'm making some sufficient progress, considering I started last night, okay? Don't grill me too much,
all right? Okay, yeah. All right, I mean, we've been wanting you to watch for quite a while, but,
yeah,
you know,
it's
cool.
Yeah, for a very long time, you know.
I mean, I actually made him watch the pilot when
They're
the show
bitter.
First came out.
Oh, did you really?
And yeah, that's I did.
Cool. Actually, I realized when I was rewatching them, you made me watch the pilot, the second episode, and I think like halfway through the third.
Oh,
too.
Wow. Okay, so I just
that's
really
how good of a friend you were.
Through it, huh?
That's how good of a friend you were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like I'm amazing, really.
It's awesome.
You know,
it's great.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. I just force my friends to do whatever I think they should do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like I'm looking out for them as much as I'm looking out for what I want them to do, but, you know, whatever.
And maybe we'll have an episode on friendship in the future where Bob learns how to deal with his friends.
That sounds great. I think we'll need all of our previous guest stars to, you know,
it'll
just be the intervention episode. And
yeah, no, yeah. Let's do it.
Maybe on, okay, if we hit 25 episodes, we'll have back all our guests.
We will have
a lot of guests.
Oh my god.
When we
What's horrible
hit
is that not 20. Only am I going to have to sit for this intervention, but then I'm going to have to edit all of those tracks, then render it, and then upload it for all of the same people to listen back to the intervention. That's painful.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry, we'll figure
if
it out.
If we make
okay,
$5
okay.
a month on the Patreon, how about that?
Oh, okay, that's better. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But Voltron, as of now, this
okay,
episode,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We're focusing on Voltron.
Voltrons.
But one cool thing about Voltron is there is an original series in the 80s, and I think me and Reese both watched that when we were little and absolutely mm-hmm. loved it. Am I correct?
Yeah, I watched that for a while. I'm trying to remember what year Voltron actually came out, but I had... Anyways, I think I had, like, the DVD, or a few of the DVDs as a kid. I might have had, like, I don't know, season maybe 4 or 5. So my original introduction was, like, way...
It came out 1984.
Okay, I was going to say 1984, but I didn't want to, like, accidentally just, like, be thinking of the George Orwell book, so I didn't
want to say that.
But it turns out George Orwell was wrong, because we actually got Voltron in 1984, which is much better than A Horrible Communistic Society. But yeah, so
oh my word, it took me a while to get that. Thank you for clearing
yes,
that
yes,
up. It
you're
took me a while
welcome.
To get that.
but yeah, so I started on maybe season 5, and I eventually got my friend Alano into it back in the day, and I remember watching through from like the beginning with him, and so it was always sort of something that I watched. I always liked Pidge. As a character, I always thought...
right?
Yeah, I always thought he was great. Yeah.
Yeah, growing up, like, because, like, whenever... I don't forget what year they added it on Netflix, but I think it was around, like, maybe 2010-ish, 2009-ish, like, you know, way back when. But my favorite character, you know, growing up on this series, and even now today when this new season is introduced, is Keith. He's amazing. Yeah. So what about you, Daniel? From the little bit that you've seen, like, what is What is your heart kind of leading towards?
My heart. Oh, okay. Well, I have a quick question, and this may or may not be it's probably a spoiler. Yeah. Can I ask it if it's a spoiler?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we won't answer it's too spoilery.
In the original, was Pidgey a girl?
No.
Okay, so they did that in the new series.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wondering because...
I had to weigh the options because it felt super spoilery. But to be honest, they give you hints of it in the first episode, and they already sort of, like, introduce it by, like, you know, the third or fourth, so...
Right. So they've already introduced it in the new series, but, yeah.
Nothing later than the first five episodes will be discussed while you're here, though.
Okay, but to answer the question, though, my favorite character so far, well, in the new series, is probably the princesses, the princesses.
Karan?
Yeah, Karan.
Yes.
Yes, he's my favorite character in the new one, too. He's amazing.
He's awesome.
And I watched back to the original Voltron for comparison.
It's still on Netflix, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so if you look up Voltron, you'll see both Voltron Legendary Defender and Voltron in parentheses 1984.
Right. I think I might rewatch that whenever I have time.
Yeah, I want to, too, because there's a lot of good parallels. Like, they sort of stick to the story.
Right.
I mean, they obviously go in very, like, more vastly different directions.
Yeah, because, but with the original, they just focused on, like, you know, that's a spoiler. Never mind.
they've been sort of keeping with, like, you know, the same characters and the same sort of, to some extent, you could say, like, feel. I guess there's a little bit of nostalgia in there, but they've also been taking it in an entirely new direction, but keeping, you know, true to, like, some of the same characters in the parts of the original show that was really good.
Right.
Which is something that not a lot of reboots do. A lot of reboots are either the same thing over again or so completely different from the original that it shouldn't even have the same name.
Yeah. But see, the thing that I love about, you know, this new Voltron is, like, the art styles are, like, completely different. Like, I mean, but they're the same thing. I don't know. They're completely different, you know. When you look at the old one, I mean, it does look old and, like, you know, 80s. 80s? 80s-ish. I don't know. But, and then when you look at, you know, the newer one, I mean, you could definitely, you know, there's a huge difference in the art style.
Well, that's just kind of like how
it progresses.
Cartoons have, like, evolved from this style to this new almost anime-like style, I guess.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing, is that the original Voltron, from my understanding, was originally, like, an anime.
Yeah, it was very
that was adapted into an American show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
It was originally sort of anime. It actually sort of, if anybody remembers, like, Speedrunner, it sort of had that look.
Right.
I don't know what Speedrunner is.
Okay, never mind.
But
that was a show that got a reboot in the form of a movie that was awful.
Oh my word!
But I watched that a lot as a kid.
Did the reboot movie have John Goodman in it?
I think it was like that's in 2008. Really, but yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm googling it because I think I saw it and I absolutely hated it and I didn't know what it was.
It was bad, but I think the original show was fine. But anyways, that's aside.
I think
I actually probably watched, I might have started watching Voltron, like, maybe when I was 4 or 5, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Before Ethan was born.
I don't know about that. But yeah.
I know.
But I think, you know, Voltron is, so far, in my opinion, one of the best reboots there has been yet.
It might be the best reboot of all time, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that I've ever seen, for sure.
You know, you see all these other shows, and they fail. They fail in life when they try to reboot their shows, and it fails.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll get something a little bit better, but not something that's, like, so entirely greater that, like, you don't even need to have seen the original show to love it.
Right.
I've talked to Hunt the Bunt Gunter about this a little bit, and he is a Voltron fan. He's a patron, by the way. For those of you who don't listen very often, yes, Hunt the Bunt Gunter, but he is one of our patrons, and, like, you know, he's really cool. And anyways, we talked to him quite a bit, and so Yeah, he's watched through the first two seasons of Ultron, and he's never seen the original, but he loves it just as much as I do.
Right.
And that's not something you normally get with a rebooted show.
No, not at all.
Or a rebooted movie. Yeah, like, it usually doesn't stand on its own. For example, well, I mean, that's not a show, but Beauty and the Beast didn't really stand on its own. Mm-mm. But it did sort of go with that in the way
it's
that,
a current
like,
event.
It's a current event, yeah, but it... To some extent, you could argue that it does because people have seen it that haven't seen the original, but it also doesn't really because it's the same movie again. There's nothing new about it, and pretty much everybody's seen Beauty and the Beast anyways.
But so. Bob, the technology, okay?
The technology was not. Yeah, anyways, I don't want to go into it. I don't want to get sucked into that again.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, but yeah, actually, speaking of technology, though, the technology in Voltron is good because they have a good blend of, like, you know, more like hand-drawn looking animation and then like CG bits.
Right, right. Honestly,
which is something
it's
that
really
Studio Mir
mix.
Just always has had,
right.
From what I understand, because they're the guys who did Avatar and Korra. Shows like that. So.
Avatar, Korra, yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
They always have a good blend of CG and more hand-drawn looking animation.
I never really noticed, actually. I never really noticed it all that much. When does something look CG in an anime like that?
In Voltron, it's like with the lions and, you know, when they're the space battles and stuff like that.
That's more CG and then the rest is more hand-drawn.
Yeah,
think?
But then you see them, okay. Like, inside their lions and... They're, like, 2D, and, you know, they're drawn and stuff like that. But it doesn't really feel like a major difference. Like, it doesn't seem jarring.
Yeah, I mean, like, really I hardly cool. even noticed it, so...
Yeah, yeah, and that sort of reminds me a bit of The Force Awakens, is how, you know, The Force Awakens was a bit of a poster child for good blends of, like, you know, CG and, like, physical sort of effects and that sort of thing. And this is sort of that, you know, Studio Mir has sort of become that for animation, so.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other things to talk about while Daniel is here, or is it time to kick him out and talk spoilers?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about my first impressions of the show so
Oh,
far.
Yeah. We haven't
oh,
got
yes,
to
of course,
So, yeah,
of
what
course.
Is your first impressions?
Okay. Well, I like it, like I said earlier, but, I don't know, they have a lot of good elements to it, I guess. I don't know if they had as much humor as they did in the original, but, like, I really like how the humor is kind of, like, it's a part of the plot, and so, but it's not, like, so much that it kind of ruins everything. I don't know if I'm making this clear,
but they
find a way to, like, almost solve problems with kind of humor, and so I think that's really cool, and they find a good balance of that, and so I really like when shows or movies do that, but, you know, there's always that point where it's too much. And I don't really like it, but they find a good balance, which I think, I really like so far.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the multiple stories and the multiple plot lines that are going right now, I think are really cool.
Right.
And, like, how they're slowly all developing, and they're not, like, one is just standstill and the other is, like, on a run, you know, but they're kind of both there and they're intertwined, and I think they do that really well, the writers. So.
Yeah, that's something that always annoyed me about Rebels, is that, Star Wars Rebels, is that they'd have, like, all these plot lines going, which seems really cool, except they'll halt a full-on plot line to have an episode that has nothing to do with that for a little bit, and then, like, the plot line will have just, like, stopped, and then it will go in a later episode when they want to continue it.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, so, like, when they had Darth Maul on there was, like, this whole, like, giant, like, you know, sort of finale, like, mid-season finale thing where, you know, Maul finds out where Obi-Wan is, right? And then they just go off and do other things until, like, the end of the season, basically, where then they just, like, come back to Tatooine and find Maul. But, like, that whole time, Maul didn't find Obi-Wan and nothing happened. It's like, they tried to explain that sort of things away, but, like, you can't just, like, ignore a full plot line. And the plot lines with Maul, they would just ignore that Thrawn was there and, you know, stuff like that. But Voltron, like, keeps them all going and keeps all the characters progressing in ways without, like, halting to progress one thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely
really cool.
agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, I guess that's all I have to say, so I can leave now.
Well, no, but you had other good points. You had other good points, like the humor you were saying.
Yeah.
Well, see, it was a really long time ago when I watched the original, but I don't remember hardly any humor whatsoever when in
well,
the original.
the humor that was there was mostly sort of slapstick stuff with the mice and the sandwiches and things like that.
Yeah. And again, it was when I watched it, I was really little, so it might have been like too little to understand it and actually like laugh at it.
Yeah, I think for the most part they tried to keep it a serious show because it wasn't, you know, it's really hard to keep, like, especially in, like, an animated show, like, a good balance of, like, comedy while at the same time being able to be serious. And I think they sort of would go for one or the other unless the mice were there,
right,
basically. But this show has done a really good job of letting itself be serious. And you'll find a lot of good, you know, serious, meaningful moments later through the show, but, like, mm-hmm. the humor doesn't ever die, you know?
Yeah. Is it just me, or do you think that, like, over time, a lot of shows and, like, you know, writers and stuff have found, like, better ways to make, like, comedy an integral part of the TV show in some ways, where, like, there's a lot more comedy in certain serious shows, I think, nowadays. Like, if you look at, like, these action movies or whatever, now they have these kind of, like, almost, like, not quite fourth wall breaking jokes, but, like, they just kind of have these, like, jokes that kind of work with it and make it, like, for instance, I was watching Captain America Civil War, and I feel like if I compared that to, like, an older, like, Marvel movie, maybe, or, like, back, like, a little while ago, they wouldn't have certain humor that they didn't have, that where they, like, you know, these kind of, like, just random, like, times where they'd crack a joke or something like that. I think they, in a sense, by doing that, they've made, like, these shows and stuff more real by showing, you know, this other side, this other layer, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
I would say that's become more of a popular thing to incorporate more comedy, but
yeah, sometimes
if
it's not
a good thing.
Me, though.
I think yeah, it doesn't always work. I think that was apparent in a few of Marvel's movies where sometimes the jokes would, you know,
I do
take
agree.
Away from the seriousness or the plot.
Yeah, I totally.
And
agree
I do
that.
Think it's more something that's popular, not like something that they figured out. But I think it's, you know, very dependent on the director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like for example, with a movie like Rogue One, and with a director like Gareth Edwards, you wouldn't expect a lot of, like, really funny jokes throughout the movie, and there's some of it, but it's not, you know, like, throughout the whole movie, but with someone like J.J. Abrams, you would get that, or, you know, stuff like that. There's always going to be elements like that, and that's definitely what's popular now, but not every director does it, and so I feel like
right.
it really does depend on, like, who it is that's doing it, how for how good it will be.
Yeah, but you do agree that, like, for instance, like a time setting in the 80s, you probably it would be more rare to find that happening than nowadays, of course, because it's,
yeah.
you know, more.
I think I would just argue that it's because it's not as popular. It wasn't mm-hmm. as popular then, not because it wasn't possible then.
Yeah, I agree. That's really cool. Yeah, but once again, that's something I actually appreciated from Voltron, Legendary Defender,
right.
because, you know, they did the humor right, I think. They
yeah.
did it right.
And see, like, you know, a lot of these shows, what they do add in humor, but it's, like, almost too distracting and it doesn't work out. You know, with, like, Legend of Voltron, like you've already kind
of
said,
Legend of Voltron?
Voltron,
the Legend of
Defenders.
Voltron, Defenderary.
Oh, wow.
Defenderary. But they have a really good mix of, you know, the seriousness and, you know, the comedy, and it works really well. It balances itself out, and a lot of movies and TV shows don't really successfully do that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I have found a case or so for me where, like, the some parts, like, maybe once or twice in, like, the episodes that I've seen where, like, there's some parts that I'm, like, I don't really get, or, like, I don't really find all that funny, and I'm like, okay, well, but that doesn't really, you know, isn't really, like, I'm not too picky about that, but
right.
I do think they still, yeah, they do it well, the comedy, and I, yeah, that's something I do actually like about it, though, overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's valid. I really do think that, I don't know, like, you see attempts at it so much that when you finally see a movie that's, like, or a show that has that, like, you know, where it's really done well, it feels that much better, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a
I
lot
agree,
of times
yeah.
today, like, all people need to do is just, like, give something that people can't just complain about, and then it's really good. Like, I don't know how to say it other than that, like, all people really need to do to make a good show is just have nothing wrong with it more than they need to have something right with it. So sometimes there'll be shows that, like, people will really like just because there's nothing, like, wrong with it.
So,
but
yeah.
I feel Voltron has nothing wrong with it, but also, like, has taken the time to develop something that's, like, really good, not just because there's nothing wrong with it. That's sort of, to be honest, that's how I felt with Arrival. Like, I didn't love Arrival, but I felt like there was nothing wrong with it, so it was a good movie. Like, there was nothing I could really say I hated or didn't like about it. I thought it was just well done.
But all you have to do nowadays is make something mediocre, and it'll be amazing, because the reason why people don't like things is because it's below mediocre. And so,
yeah, just make something par, and people will like it. But, like, when a storyteller goes to the length and effort to make something, you know, way above par, and you can tell that they've developed this for years, and, you know, that the story and how they are delivering it matters more to them than, like, just the fact that they could probably make it popular easier without as much work is really something interesting to me. And I feel like every show that they've come out with has been like that. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, yep. I agree with that.
All right. I think halfway through the episode, it's probably time to start talking spoilers. So, Daniel, you might want to sign off here.
Fine.
Sorry.
Unless, you know, you want the whole show to be ruined.
If you want the whole show to be ruined and there to be literally no emotional investment at all for, you know, the
then
rest
yeah,
of the
you
show.
Can stick around.
So you're saying there's going to be a time in the Gosh Daniel podcast where Daniel isn't there.
It'll become the Gosh Ethan podcast for the next 20
Gosh.
Minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm handing off the mantle to you. Oh,
thanks, man. Appreciate
Ethan.
It.
Don't embarrass the brand, all right?
I'll try not to. But you know what? Just because it's in your name, I might think about it.
All right. Well, you guys have fun then. I guess I'll leave. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Just let yourself out. That's all right.
Don't forget to follow. Oh, wait. We're not doing that.
No, you can do that. Okay. No, that's cool. You can do that now.
It's fine. No, it's fine. No. It's fine. I don't want to. Okay.
All right. That's all right. Well, bye there then, Daniel.
See you, bye. Listeners, and see you guys. Have fun without me.
Oh. That's it's a sort of depressing way to say goodbye,
just
but
a bit.
It was needed. I don't want to spoil the show for Daniel. And just so Daniel knows, I can still see that he's there. he's still here, just like listening in. Trying to get some spoilers, he should go.
Goodbye.
Go away. All right, cool,
all right.
Bye.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions for you.
All right, just so we know, it's the official spoiler section, so if you have not seen both seasons of the show, please turn off now.
Off
so
now.
Basically, the only person that would continue listening at this point is Hunt the Bunt Gunter Schmunter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right,
so... jumping right to season 2, the final episode. So, in the final episode, it was mainly a fight between, Zarkon and, the Paladins. Mainly the Black Paladin. See, what's happening with the Black Paladin is that Shiro, is that he's kind of having, like, a mental game, so to speak, with, King Zarkon. I believe I'm correct on that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Zarkon, you find out throughout season 2 was the, or maybe even before that, was like the original, like, Black Paladin.
Yeah.
So he, what that means is that, you know, he piloted the Black Lion of Voltron. So
therefore, he has an extremely strong connection with the Black Lion, stronger than Shiro's connection with the Black Lion. And so, you know, what you kind of see throughout the series is, you know, King Zarkon trying to gain control over the Black Lion.
Mm-hmm. Trying to take him from Shiro, basically.
Right. And so I think one of the final scenes was, one of the final scenes was King Zarkon and the Black Paladin, Shiro, had kind of like a battle, right? And then once they defeated, or I can't remember, but I think they defeated King Zarkon.
Is he king or emperor?
I believe he's king.
Okay, all right.
Because I think that's how they address him in the series. Right. And so King Zarkon, so basically, he got killed, or he is dying now. He got wounded somehow. And when all the other paladins went to go see Shiro and his lion, he wasn't there. And then they ended the series, or they ended the season. So, what do you think happened to Shiro?
To be honest, I feel like I have a few different theories, but my guess is that because they were both black paladins, I feel like there can only be one paladin at a time or none. So I feel like, to some extent, for the Black Lion to be able to respond to both of them, they had to be sort of linked, is sort of how I see it. So I feel like when Zarkon died, Shiro basically had to go to some extent. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I feel like he's like...
either that or he became part of the lion, but I doubt that.
That makes sense. You know, either that or, like, you know, he's kind of scattered in his own mind type of a thing. Or, mm-hmm. you know, even almost kind of a spiritual realm. I don't know. But when you
look... be trapped in Zarkon's mind, but then Zarkon died, so...
Yeah.
And I feel like they confirmed Zarkon was died, like... I feel like they can confirm that Zarkon died in the last scene, but...
Right. But then when you look at the original series, Shiro wasn't a thing. Shiro never existed. The actual leader of the Paladins was Keith.
But he was only leader after a while, right? I feel like in the first few episodes, there was some other dude. But maybe he died before they found Voltron.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't remember that well.
But when you look at the last couple of episodes of the season, you know, Shiro was really pushing, you know, if I ever die, you know, you're going to become the leader because I trust you, and so on and so on. And so I feel like that was really hinting that Shiro, that they were going to kill or, you know, kind of get rid of Shiro in a sense, to the point where he's still there, but he's not the leader. So Keith kind of steps in.
But what's going to happen? Like, is... My real question is, like, is Keith gonna pilot the Black Lion, or is he gonna stick with the Red Lion and somebody else will pilot the Black Lion but not be the leader? It doesn't make sense.
The original series, you know, you would have these paladins, you know, they had, you know, their colors, right? But they would be in totally different lions. And so that was always, you know, a little confusing.
Keith,
so I don't know
Keith
what...
Keith piloted the Black Lion, I remember.
Right. And I think...
Lance was in the Blue Lion, I think, still. Wait, no, Lance was in the Red Lion, wasn't he? And then the Princess was in the Blue Lion. And then Honk was in the Yellow, and then Pidge was still in the Green.
Yeah. And another thing is that, you know, on the Princess, right, I think it's Princess Allura?
Allura.
Allura, right. So they kind of introduced her. So she should be, like, become a paladin. If you look at the original series, you know, she was actual paladin. And she had, you know, a pink lion, I believe, right?
Well, she was the pink, like, so her armor was pink, and she was, like, the pink paladin.
Or
but she was in the Blue Lion.
Was it blue or green?
It was blue. I remember Pidge was still in the Green Lion.
Right.
Lance was still, like, Lance was in the Red one, though. I feel like that makes sense for that show, because in that show, they didn't have so much of a connection between Paladin and, you know, and Lion. But in this show, they've made it very particular and specific who pilots which Lion. So I don't really see as easily that they could just switch Lions. That doesn't really make sense to me in this show.
Right.
So I'm not sure what would happen, but that would be really great if you know, maybe Karan started, you know, piloting the Black Lion. I think
that'd be pretty cool. But and then so I had a theory about that, but then I saw an episode where he tried to pilot the Red Lion, and the Red Lion totally rejected him.
That was amazing.
That was like such a great episode, by the way. But and then when you look at the last episode, the last couple of seconds, King Zarkon said, summon Prince Lordor, I believe.
Yeah, so do you remember him?
Yes, I do. So if you ever watched, you know, the original series, King Lordor was actually the one that they were fighting.
I think it's Lothar.
I think it's L-O-T-O-R. So Lothar. He was the original bad guy of the show. And so, you know, the entire, you know, seasons, they were, you know, trying to fight him and stuff like that.
Yeah, Lotor was Zarkon's son, so mm-hmm. Zarkon would basically send him out to go do all the dirty work, sort of.
Right. So, yeah, if you watch the original series, I think you could, you know, pretty much guess this, you know, as it's unfolding. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm really excited to see Lotor in the show. Like, not only how he acts, but, like, what he looks like. Because, obviously, Zarkon looks so much different. I wonder what Lotor will look like. And
yeah, I hope they, like, turn him into, like, you know, an absolute beast. Like, you know, he already was, but even more so. Yeah, I have high expectations from King Prince Lotor. Lotor? I can't say it. But, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is, the thing is, this show I think has been confirmed for 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that's monumental, and that's amazing for me.
Oh yeah, me too, man.
I'm really so excited for that, and I wish what they did is that, for some reason, I really wish Rebels was not going for 5 seasons, but I wish that Voltron was going for more. I feel like Voltron could go for maybe 7. But, well, you know, 5 is alright.
I feel like right now it's looking really good, but I feel like it's too soon to tell.
Yeah, because that was like, that was like, seasons 1 and 2 were like, it's like a completely separate thing than what the rest of the show's going to be like, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, totally. I feel like, you know, it's just kind of the start. But who knows, maybe down the road, you know, 5 is basically confirmed. Maybe, you know, something will happen where they do end up making more. So that's exciting.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, I am too. So yeah. One thing though that I wish they had more details on and more of a backstory is Honk. He hasn't really had, like, you know, very much character development.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody else has had like a full on arc and like, you know, a lot episode of development. Type of
thing. Right.
Yeah, and Hunk has just had pretty much nothing. I wonder if that's something they'll explore more in the 3rd season. Well, wait a minute. No, he sort of did. I mean, there was nothing about like his background that affected him or anything like that. But, you know, he has like basically that girlfriend who lives on the Balmera, right?
Yeah.
That was sort of all about him.
I don't know. I feel like that could be, you know, they're kind of like background on him, but I just wish they would have more, because like Honk is a very interesting character, and like, you know, he could be a lot more than what he is right now, and I hope that definitely, you know, they explore that more in the upcoming seasons for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably so far been the weakest character of all of them, mm-hmm. and that he seems more stereotypical than the rest of them, that he's doesn't seem like he has as much depth.
Right.
But that's obviously because they haven't really explored much of his character.
Right.
I do want to see more of the Balmera and stuff like that, but
oh yeah. Yeah, what that one brotherhood. I'm trying to figure out. So
oh yeah, those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Keith, actually his dad gave him a dagger, right? And so there was a couple episodes on that, and this dagger was part of this brotherhood, and this brotherhood of you know, the main bad guys of what is their race called? I forget. Balmera.
The Galra.
The Galra.
So the Balmera. Remember, the Balmera is like the giant floating, basically the planet that gives them all the gems for the ships. Oh yeah. So yeah, the Balmera was like, and then Balmerans were those people that lived on that.
And
yeah,
then the Galra. The
purple creepy dudes.
Yeah, and so basically when you watch, you know, more towards the end of the 2nd season, that his mother was Galra, and so he is, you know, half alien, so to speak, and he is half Galra. So that is exciting, because I feel like in the 3rd season, they're really going to explore that, and we're going to find out more about that, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be really, 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 really exciting, because I don't really I don't know where they could go with that. Like, what do they do? Like, what is there to really explore about, you know, the Galra race? We don't really know too much about it other than that they're the bad guys, generally.
Right, generally. And then, you know, it's kind of like a stereotype for the government to be the bad guys. But then when you look at this brotherhood, you know, they're actually the good guys. And they're actually, you know, helping the paladins. So, you know, to be, hopefully, you know, they'll explore more into that area. Just to kind of clear that up. Because, you know, the brotherhood seems really cool. And I'm really interested in it. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel there's a lot of good stuff to look forward to. There are a lot of good arcs and plots and things like that in motion already. There are a lot of storylines that are hopefully going to develop. And thankfully, it was renewed for another 3 seasons. So, you know, we just have to sort of sit back and wait and speculate and enjoy the ride.
Right.
Yep, it's fun.
Right.
And memorize all the names.
Yeah, I need to work on that. No,
I forget them too. After the first time I watched, like, after watching through the first season, I totally forgot, like, all of their names. And so then when season 2 came out, Hunt the Bunt Gunter started watching it and, like, binged through it all. And he was telling me about some stuff about it, and I had no idea what he was talking about, so.
Nice.
Then I determined I need to memorize these things, and so I did. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's not going to be one of those, you know, TV series where it just kind of like, you know, slowly dies off. Hopefully it's going to, you know, get better and better, you know, stay strong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been doing really well, but it is always hard to know, you know, especially after in a 5-part series when they have like the first 2 books are the first 2 books or the first 2 seasons, all that sort of stuff. They're usually a lot different,
right,
than the last 3, and then it goes completely insane. So I'm curious to see what happens with the tone. Like, I wonder how mm-hmm. much it'll change.
Right.
I think season 2 had a lot of change, but it still felt like the same show somehow. So I feel like it's all good. Maybe it's time to start wrapping up, I guess. There wasn't really too much to talk about.
Not a whole lot.
40 minutes later, I say. but yeah, there's a lot of it is just speculation from here on out.
Right.
And it's a really good show. And if you haven't watched it, watch it. And I'm sorry for ruining the show for you.
I think out of a rating, though, out of... 1 to 10, I think it's for sure a 10 out of 10.
No, this is the Gosh Daniel podcast. It's 1 out of 18 Lego pigs.
Excuse me.
Out of 18 Lego pigs, how many would you give the show?
Probably 18 Lego pigs.
Nice, me too. Alright, we needed to make sure it was in that, so it was in proper Gosh Daniel format. We don't want Daniel getting mad at us, you know.
Yeah.
Alright, let's finish it off. You can find us, or at least you can find me and Daniel. Ethan is actually, we're excited to announce, right now in the middle of the show, spontaneously, that, Ethan is sort of part of the Gosh Daniel, sort of, I guess, brotherhood, would you say?
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, you'll probably hear a lot more of him in the coming, days, months, years. He's, really... really good, and he knows his stuff, and it's a lot of fun to have him on here. So yeah, we'll probably have a lot more Ethan in the future. He's not only listener of the month, but he is guest of the week. I'll work on that. So you can find us on Twitter at Gosh Daniel Pod, which is usually just like if you want to get a notification as soon as we uploaded them onto YouTube.
Right.
If that matters to you. But we'll be a bit more active on there as soon as we have more followers. Patreon, www.patreon.com/GoshDaniel. We're on Twitter. Wait, I already said that. Sorry. We're on Stitcher and iTunes if you're on YouTube. If you're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher and YouTube. And if you're on Stitcher, you're doing it wrong. our new listener of the month, let me think of one real quick. You know what, let's go with Hunt the Bunt Gunter, because this is the Voltron episode.
Yep.
Represent. Yeah, Hunt the Bunt Gunter, listener of the month, and possibly even patron of the month. He is a patron, as well as Myron Smith. They both give a whopping $1 to the Patreon, and it really does help us out because we're broke. Thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you in the next one.
All right, see you guys later. Goodbye.
All right, bye.